Ladies and gentlemen, my last guest is someone who has been much maligned as an interfering matriarchal busybody. But according to her, she was only doing her bounden duty, and in doing so, she created adventures for the Walker, Callum, and Blackett children. So here to tell her side of the story is the Blackett's great aunt, Miss Maria Turner. Miss Turner, welcome to the show. I trust you had an uneventful journey from the north.
No, I most certainly did not. The train was crowded and my compartment was filthy. I had reserved a first-class seat at enormous cost and ended up having to tidy it myself. It reminded me of the disgraceful state that I found my nephew's houseboat in when I was trying to find out what was going on behind my back during those school holidays.
Yes. Now, according to my notes, Mrs. Blackett had gone on holiday with her brother to recover from influenza, leaving her daughters Ruth and Margaret alone apart from their cook.
That is correct, or as I thought at the time. I now know that there were two other children at the house, and everything that happened now makes perfect sense.
But the cook was in charge. Was there any real reason for you to drop everything and travel to the lakes?
There most certainly was. My nieces, Ruth in particular, were becoming most unlike the ladies that they should have been growing up to be. I had noticed that Ruth was getting very bossy and domineering. I do not know where she gets it from. Probably from that itinerant nephew of mine. He has always been a bit of a black sheep, you know.
So you arrived and everything seemed quite normal.
At first, the girls were very well behaved, although that, in hindsight, should have aroused my suspicions. And then odd things started to happen.
What things?
First, there was the apple pie. We had just a small amount, and I requested that the cook keep it for the next day, only to find that she had cut it up and covered it with custard and served it as if in a working-class cafeteria. A more surly and uncooperative woman you would find it hard to meet. And then there was the man, a tramp, I thought. Every time we came face to face, he would dive over a wall or something just as ridiculous. Then there was the postman. I watched him creep up the path to the door, ram the letters through the letterbox, and then take to his heels. The doctor was no better. He treated me as if I was an unexploded bomb.
And then I believe you confronted a burglar.
Yes, or so I thought. We had all gone to bed and the girls were asleep, as far as I knew. Then I heard small noises from downstairs, so I went to investigate and found that the window of James's study had been left open, probably by that irresponsible cook. I then returned to my bed, only to hear the study window shoot up, making a horrible noise. I looked out of the window to see this figure scurrying away in the moonlight. Of course, I now know that it was only the boy hiding away from me in the woods with his sister. Evidently, he'd been hiding in the boot box, which for some reason had the word Timothy written across it. And when I shut the window, he had to open it again. It appears that he was after some equipment for my tramp. He was, in fact, a friend of my nephew who had permission to use the houseboat and the equipment anyway. But for some reason, he was frightened to come to the house. I cannot see why, but then everyone seemed to be behaving in a very peculiar fashion.
What if at the time you had found out what was going on?
Well, the parents of the children were away on business, so I would not have sent them away. They would have stayed at the house and been looked after in a civilized way instead of living like cavemen up in the woods.
Now, I believe you had your suspicions about all this and went off on your own without telling anyone and were reported missing. Colonel Jolly's here has already told us something about it.
I was never lost. It started with that idiot Luthwaite not checking the vehicle for petrol. Fortunately, a butcher's van came along while I was waiting for Luthwaite to come back with the petrol, and he took me almost to Swainson's farm, where I suspected the Walker children and my nieces might be. I did not know then that it was two different children that were involved. They were not there, and Mary Swainson kindly took me to the houseboat where I waited. I was horrified by the mess. The cabin was full of dirt and rocks, so I set to give it a thorough clean. To cut a long story short, I was given a lift back to Beckford by two children, who turned out to be the very children I was looking for. They sailed their boat very well right up to the Beckford lawn, which was full of people shouting, cheering, and sounding off horns. I could see straight away that Tommy Jollies was the instigator of all this foolery, marching about as if in charge of an army.
I believe you put quite a few people in their places.
They were all there on the lawn, the police, the postman, the doctor, Tommy and his men all acting as if they were back at school, leaping around, blowing on horns and cheering. I suppose that they might have been glad that I was alive. I will give them the benefit of the doubt. But I made sure that they were all firmly in their places, especially Tommy. He may look like a grown-up, but believe me, inside he is still a little boy playing at soldiers. The cook had not made my sandwiches, and I had little time to meet my train, and to cap it all, as I went into the house, I spotted Mrs. Luthwaite's other son, Samuel, with my cloak. He'd been allowing their bloodhounds to smell it. Well, really, I was all for writing to Mrs. Luthwaite to complain about her sons, but thought better of it. They are good sons at heart, if a little slow, and there was no real point in upsetting her.
Of holiday tasks, knitting, reading aloud, reciting poetry, and playing the piano. Is this really what children should do during their holidays?
When I was a small child, we had to do all these things. Also, sit properly, speak properly, eat properly, even walk properly. They did me no harm, and I believe that I am better for it. I think you must remember that anything I did was for the best, and I feel it is my duty to help my sister's daughter in every way I can, especially after the loss of Robert, her dear husband, when she was left to bring them up on her own. James has a good heart, but he's an adventurer and a wanderer, liable to forget the niceties of life. Girls need to be ladies, not tomboys.
Yes, but having said that, and according to my notes, you were a very sporty type at school. It says here that you were a Wimbledon junior at tennis.
That is so, but that was a very long time ago.
It was also thought that you might have become a professional piano player, but you opted for a career in teaching, specialising in Latin, it says here.
Well, que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be.
Well, thank you, Miss Turner, for giving your side of a very interesting tale. And I would like to thank all my guests for coming on the show and giving an account of the extraordinary events that have touched their lives. So it's goodbye from Molly Blackett, Lieutenant Colonel Jollies, and Miss Turner, and of course, myself. Good evening to you all, and thank you for joining us.